paralysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other guys. But not here. Not now. Not ever. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, a deep look inside the game. The Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA is broadcasting live from Puss in Boots Tavern and is brought to you in part by SEPTA, BCWSA, Rob's Automotive, Vin Siriani in Contour Mortgage, Marriott Suites in Clearwater Beach, Harris Comfort, Penn Community Bank, McCaffrey Supermarkets, Peruzzi Auto Group, Keenan's in North Wildwood, and the Southern Ocean County Chamber of Commerce. We now go live to Puss in Boots Tavern for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here is your host, Phillies Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier.
All right, welcome to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. I'm John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games, those fighting Phils, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Green. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I thought they were going to mention who was on with you.
What happened? You got axed from
it's
it.
It's either Ricky or they or axed nothing. Me all together.
Yeah. Well, let me do it. And Tommy Green.
All right, I'm good. Well, thanks for having me.
Right, well, thanks for being here. We are here at Puss in Boots in Fairless Hills. We'll be here for at least another hour. So if you're in the area, come on over. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in Delaware Valley. How about Wendy, your wife? She's obviously a mother of three kids.
Yes.
Right?
And four, really. She's
son. Yep, stepson. Four kids.
Yep.
So what are you doing for Mother's Day with Wendy?
Oh, we're going out this evening. I think we're going to try to go to Uka.
A little hibachi.
Yes. We like she likes somebody to cook for, which is I'm usually the chef. So
somebody's
going to cook for me tonight, too.
Now, this hibachi restaurant, obviously, they cook right in front of you. You get you go around the table. But when they're cooking up some chicken or whatever they're cooking, they always flick it in people's mouths around the table.
Yeah, they try to.
I'm just going to let you know. I'm patting myself on the back. I caught it. I went one for one. Charlotte, my daughter, is 9 years old, was a little scared at first, but she didn't fare so well. She got a little mouth. And yet, Jill
took one in the eye, the nose.
Jill, everyone around the table is not very good. But I got lucky. I don't know what that says. I don't know if that's good or bad.
You can take that as you may.
right. All right. Well, you're going to have to let me know how you do at the hibachi. All right. We got a great show today, Tommy. Again, it's Mother's Day. A lot of stuff going on. We are going to talk about the new contract extension for manager Pete Maccanin.
Yes.
Good for Pete. And
for Pete.
We will get into that about the timing. We'll talk about whether it was the right move. We're going to discuss the comments made by relief pitcher Joaquin Benoit after his poor outing on Wednesday. He came out and said that, and again, we'll get into this, came out and said that the bullpen pitchers don't know what their role is, and because they don't know their role, it's hard for them to perform at peak level if they don't know when they're going in the game. So I've got some strong opinions about that. We will talk about that. We're going to talk about the emergence of Aaron Altair. He's really taken the
bull by the horns.
Bull by the horns. I mean, he's emerging right now. So hopefully we can continue to see about that. But we're going to talk about how, just small adjustments and working with Matt Stairs. But we'll get into Aaron Altair. We're going to go around the league. We're going to talk about Matt Harvey, who got suspended. We'll talk about that. Tonight, I want to get into it's the retiring of number two. It'll be the last single digit for the Yankees. But for tonight on Sunday Night Baseball, it is retiring of Derek Jeter. We'll talk about Derek Jeter's career. We'll also talk about some of the retired numbers at the Yankees. And we've got other Major League Baseball stories. We've got a squirrel that went loose in one of the ballparks.
Another one.
And we'll talk about other things. So we will also, as we always do, we're going to take a regular look into our Phillies minor leagues. And there's a guy who's on fire right now.
And there's a positive. We can look at the minor leagues.
Yeah, there's a guy who's on fire right now. Just had a walk-off home run the other night. And, of course, we will preview today's game at 1:35. First, the Nationals, it is Jeremy Hellickson versus Gio Gonzalez. That is the first game of a day-night doubleheader. They're going to clear the stadium after the first game.
Oh.
And then there's going to be
the second gate.
Second gate, which I believe starts at 7 or 7:35. So you'll have Sunday Night Baseball for the Fightin' Phils. You'll have baseball all day on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that'll be good. You maybe get a chance to watch a little bit of it.
Just make sure you don't ignore your wife or your mother.
I left her. She was still sleeping, believe it or not, and I was still resting, so to speak.
There you go. All right. Well, Tom, let's talk about the week in baseball. It's a shortened week because we had a lot of missed games and days off. So the one game, because we did a pregame show last Sunday, And we're going to start on a positive note because it's always good to start on a positive note.
Yes, it is.
We're going to talk about Sunday because I listened to the end of the game while I was in my car. I was going in to pick up some I love Vietnamese food, so yeah. I like this pho, or what some people call it pho, P-H-O, but it's basically like noodle soup, Vietnamese noodle soup, and I got a great one up near me. So I pulled in there, and I sat in the car for like 10 minutes with the radio on, listening to the end of it, and it was a dramatic ending, and let's go through it real quick. So we faced Tanner Roark, okay?
Yeah.
And it was Jeremy Hellickson on the mound. And if you remember, Washington got off to a 1-0 start in the first inning. Phils climb back. They take the lead 2-1 in the fourth. Washington goes ahead, a short-lived lead, because Washington goes ahead 3-2 in the fifth. They go up 5-2 in the seventh. Just when you think it's done, you got Aaron Altherr, who cranked his career first pinch-hit home run in the eighth inning, and it was off Matt Albers. And Matt Albers hadn't given up a run all year.
Yeah.
He's the one who finally got his first save, if you remember.
After how many? It had been unbelievable.
Right. It was the second most appearances without a save closing a game. So, but Altherr became the first Philly since Chase Utley to belt a pinch-hit home run with two or more runners on base to tie the game or take the lead in the eighth inning or later. If you remember, that's when Utley blasted a grand slam the eighth inning off LaTroy Hawkins.
Yeah.
So Aaron Altherr, we talked about him before, cranks at home. It just seems when he's – if you want somebody in a moment, that's a guy you want right now.
Right now, he is the hottest thing going. I know he didn't get any hits yesterday, but he's got, what he's done, him and Matt Stairs, the work they've put in throughout the spring to shorten him up a little bit and get his leg kick and everything tied together and his hands are not as high to get him shorter and quicker to the ball because he is a big, longer, lankier guy.
Right.
And you got to figure out what makes the guys tick. And, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. And, I mean, I think they found something they've worked on and to get him comfortable at because it takes the reps to do it. And he's bought into it and he's feeling confident. And you can see it in, you know, his play. And for him, you know, to get the opportunity, the door opening for him because somebody got hurt. And
right.
It's sort of like what happened to me to get in the rotation. It's taking advantage of the situation and keeping your foot in the door and don't let it shut. And that is exactly what he's doing to make himself – how can you take him out of the lineup?
That's exactly right because Howie Kendrick
– you cannot take him out of the lineup.
Howie Kendrick has been taking grounders. He's coming close to getting ready. So when he comes in, you're exactly right. It's going to have to – you know, Howie Kendrick's going to have to be moved around. You know, the good news is Howie Kendrick's very – and I think that's why he's very versatile. He played second base many games in the majors. He's taking grounders at first, which I don't think he's probably played first, but not a whole lot. He can obviously play outfield. So I think Pete's just going to have to juggle, you know. But then again, you know, Tommy Joseph is hot right now.
Yes, yeah, so that's what I was getting to say.
Do you want to bench Tommy Joseph as he's hot?
There's some positive things happening in the lineup, so
right.
to speak, you know, that we could talk about. I mean, and Tommy Joseph being one, Cameron Rupp or the other, that both the guys were struggling early. Now they're hot, which is a good thing because
right.
we need somebody up because our, say to speak, three, yep. four guys are not, you know, Herrera and Franco are not really doing a lot,
right.
if you ask me. They're not doing what they're capable of doing, especially Herrera.
And we'll get into last night's game, but we'll stay on Sunday night. But Pat Nacek comes in. He's had, up to that point, 12 consecutive scoreless appearances to begin his Phillies career. Still hasn't given up a run, which is
that's
which
outstanding.
Is great.
We got a very, very positive on the pitching staff right there.
Yep, held down the fort, and then you got to give Neris a lot of credit, too, because Neris pitched two innings, didn't give up a run.
Yeah, get him back rolling is what we need.
And it got us in a situation in the bottom of the 10th, where we had a guy in second and third, and Herrera struck out.
Yeah,
I think it was Herrera that was it. Herrera that struck out, and then we had Blanco, right? And then Blanco. I'm going back to last Sunday. Then Blanco lifted one into the outfield, right? Or Gal? No,
I'm trying to remember. Might have been Galvis.
It was Galvis. Exactly right. Galvis. Blanco got out.
Yeah,
got out. Because I remember, like, in, again, waiting for my foe.
Yeah.
I'm like, Blanco's going to end it right here. And then he didn't. He struck out. Now there's two outs. And then Freddie.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. I mean, you see, that's one thing.
One out. Freddie gets it, and they.
We have as a team, I think,
been
a little bit better. I mean, a little bit better this year than they had in the previous years about runners in scoring position less than two outs getting at least a run in. I know the previous years we really struggled giving away runs, and it really cost us some ball games. And I mean, it's not saying that we haven't done it this year because we've been in a lot of ball games.
Right.
That we've kind of done some things that kept us from doing. We could have still done some things, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you look at the record, I mean, our record is not good right now, especially in this losing streak. But every game we're in, and it just seems that we just give up that key hit or that key home run, obviously, with a bullpen.
Yeah.
But we're in every game. So you can't say – there's not been a lot of games where we've been blown out. Even the games it looks like we're not even in contention. Like the game Sunday night, we come back. Or one of the ones against Seattle, we're getting looks like blown out, but then we make a little run in the ninth inning. So at least the games are exciting, and you're seeing some guys making an improvement. But let's go.
I mean, the offense, and that's the key to it. You know, we're being a little bit more offensively, which fans do like.
All right, let's go to Tuesday night. We're off Monday. Seattle Mariners coming to town, and you know this was a tough one. We lost 10-9. This is where we jumped out to the 4-0 lead in the first. And it was basically the Phillies clouded back-to-back home runs for the second time this season in the first inning. You had Hernandez, Altier. We now have 8 first-inning home runs, which is as many as we've hit combined in the second through fifth innings this season.
It's sort of the opposite about the way we used to be. I mean, this year we're jumping out pretty quick.
Yeah, and, you know, Altair again homered in the consecutive games the first time in his career. So we jump out to a 4-0 lead, and then Seattle, you know, Eichhoff just had a tough game.
Yeah.
He gave up home runs at Cano, and at Ben Gamel, where did he come from? But that guy was one hit away from the cycle.
Yeah.
Guy was just on fire. And it's always the guys with the long hair that do in the Phillies. Why is that?
And right fielders.
Right. So that's a game. So we're up 4-0. They get 2 runs in the third. They get 3 runs in the fourth. So now we're down 5-4. But just when you're starting to say, oh, man, we're going to blow another one, we score 5 runs in the bottom of the fourth. So we're going up 9-5 now. They come back, score 3 runs in the sixth, 1 run in the seventh. So now we're tied. So, and again, it's our bullpen. It's Mark Leiter Jr. came in, gave up a couple runs, but Jolie Rodriguez is the one that really kind of came in and gave up 2 runs, gave up four hits.
In the fourth, one and two thirds. Not the fourth. And when was it that they gave that up? The sixth?
It was the sixth. So, again, Neshek came in and was great, didn't give up a run. But then we lose, you know, the tough one. They get a run in the top of the ninth. We can't do that. So again, I'm blaming Ben Gamel. If I'm even saying his name correct.
You got it.
I hope I'm not.
The guys are hitting the pitching. But I mean, you look at it, what's happening. I mean, just the numbers tell you. If you go within the numbers a little bit, we're hitting the ball. We're right there. I mean, we're not at the top, but we're not at the bottom. We're better than half. I mean, we're like 11th in baseball, say, or you know, and you're right.
The two guys we need to be counting on are Herrera and Franco, and we
could maybe be scoring a little bit more.
Right.
You know? But the big thing, it comes down to pitching and defense. And right now, we're scuffling pitching.
Right.
You know, totally.
Right.
Total numbers.
Yeah, not just bullpen.
Yeah, totally numbers. Well. Yeah. So there's got to be a correction made, and we got to start being better.
Yeah.
We got to start making the pitches, and you don't have to strike. I mean, striking everybody is making quality pitches. You know?
Right.
And if you make quality pitches, you got a tendency to keep it in the yard a little bit better.
All right, let's go to the last Seattle game because it was a 2-game series. First of all, you know, we'll cover that in the next break. But what I want to talk about is for a couple minutes, Chooch. Chooch came in.
Good to see him.
And you know what? He did a press conference on Tuesday. And I was at the press conference, and it was awesome. He got choked up. Anybody who's ever met Chooch, you know, obviously people love him on the field. He hadn't met him, but you love him on the field. Off the field, there is not a better guy.
Yeah.
Always had a smile on his face.
Yes.
Always said your name. Always shook your hand. Always did anything you ever asked. A little bit of a language barrier, but he kind of overcame that.
Yeah.
And when he did the press conference, he was visibly choked up. You could just tell that You can just tell by looking at the guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know? But he handled himself great. And I got to tell you, when we go into this game, well, you know, Chooch was a big part of it. But it was nice to see. It's always nice to see the Phil's fans give the tribute, the exact tribute to Chooch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't go over the top, but they like when Chase came in and we. When Jimmy, you know, they know that these guys meant a lot to the organization, and the Philly fans are so smart and so passionate. It was great to see their reaction with Chooch. So, all right, coming up on the show, we will talk about that second game and Chooch's impact. We're going to talk about Benoit's comments because that took place after the game, and then we'll get into last night's game. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We're live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Farrell's Hills, PA.
Hey, this is Paul Stanley.
And this is Gene Simmons.
And you're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, with Phillies Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier, and co-host Tommy Green. Am I getting paid for this? I am. The check cleared? All right. Then I love this show.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Farrell's Hills, PA. I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host Tommy Green, and that was Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons from KISS.
That is, when'd you see them?
Endorsing our radio show. How about that?
When'd you meet those guys?
There's more surprises, Tommy.
Those are my favorite. I mean, that's the band I grew up with. It was my favorite band, man, KISS.
Right?
When I grew up, yeah. I love those dudes, man.
Beth, I hear you calling. You never know.
Oh, yeah, that's Peter Criss. Yeah.
I saw KISS in 3D probably about 8 years ago, and literally they had on the they had Gene Simmons' tongue coming right at you.
That's a bad visual.
And then also, how about this one? So back in when we tore down the Vet, we did a big auction.
Yeah.
And we auctioned off all kinds of things, like Harry Callis' chair. We auctioned off, I mean, literally, you know, parts
everything.
Of the wall, the field. Remember the show Cold Pizza?
Yeah.
So Cold Pizza was on ESPN2. It was a morning show up in New York. And they wanted somebody about 2 weeks before the auction to go up to New York and talk about the auction, talk about all the cool items, talk about memories of the Vet. So they sent me up there. So I go up there.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous. And I'm in the green room waiting to go on there. And the person that's also in the green room who's going on after me is Gene Simmons. So it's just
– So you got –
Because Gene Simmons had a book that he's, you know, that he's hawking.
Yeah.
So – it was me and Gene Simmons in the green room, just kind of, you know, and then also, you know, we're small talking, you know, just
chewing the fat a little bit.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, 15 minutes later, the producer comes in and says, "All right, John, you're up." And I was like, "All right, Gene, we'll catch up, all right, buddy?" And I go in.
You big leagued him.
I big leagued him, all right, but, you know, I'd love to talk to you, but I got to go wait in the lobby for the limo, but. But, yeah, it was cool. So, all right, let's get into the last Seattle game. So,
yeah.
This was when Zach Eflin was pitching, and Zach had a good game.
Yeah, he battled. I think he gave up a couple
three,
runs.
Three earned runs. He went six innings, pitched nine hits, three earned runs.
And then he
had a walk and five strikeouts, but he just ran up a lot of pitches, like
early.
A lot of us.
Yeah, he ran up early. That one inning got him pretty good, and then he settled down, and battled and kept us right there.
Yep, and on a positive note in that game, Aaron Altherr, and now this is pretty cool because he had another three-run home run. In three games in a row, he hit two three-run home runs to tie or take the lead. He became the first Philly to hit a three-run home run in three consecutive games. So how about that, since Mike Schmidt did it back in 1981.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he's the first Philly to homer and drive in three runs in three straight games since Dalton did it in 1994. So
I was there for that one.
Yes, you were for that one. So now the good thing with Eflin, the last four state starts have been quality starts.
Well, he's been our steady Eddie, I think,
yeah.
Of late, really, of the last, you know, probably 2.5-3 weeks.
Right, and Tommy Joseph had a good game. He had a home run as well, fourth home run at the time. But here's what I want to get into. So everything was fine, not fine, but it was a tie game until the top of the seventh, and that's when Joaquin Benoit came in. Now, he had held right-handed hitters hitless in 20 at-bats this season. Before Valencia had the go-ahead base hit in the seventh. But we gave up five runs. Benoit gave up five earned runs. After the game, he in his press conference, he complained that the Phillies' bullpen didn't have their roles because they don't have their roles. They didn't know who is a sixth inning guy, who's a setup guy, who's a left-handed reliever, who's a long reliever, who's a closer. Now, Pete's been trying to find that guy, so it's the old chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Pete's been trying to put guys in that closing position to see
who can do it.
And none of them have stepped up to the plate. And so, and Benoit included. So, to say that, you know, they don't know the roles. Well, they've got to define the roles themselves. In my opinion,
exactly. Because
they can't just.
It's not just given to them.
They
got to sort of earn the right. of that passage. And I mean, at the beginning, and you know, he earned the right to get a shot at the closer's role,
which he did.
Yeah, which he did. And also, I mean, I don't know when he gave up that inning, when he gave up all that runs, but you got to prepare your
– that was in the seventh.
Yeah, you got to prepare yourself to pitch every day. And being – no matter if he's the setup guy for the closer or not, he can come in the seventh.
Right.
You know, he's got to be prepared.
Right.
You know
– you should be prepared at any time.
I mean,
now, I know
as far as we've known, Neris has been, say to speak, the closer.
Right.
Even after he give up the – say to speak, the home runs in L.A.,
right.
He's still sort of been the guy they're going to go with, I think, a little bit.
But I would think the one role that you'd have to be prepared for that game would be closer. But don't you think they communicate to whomever and say, all right, Neris, if we get to a closing situation, you're the closer today?
I would think so.
I mean, that's the one spot you would think that they would
give
you a heads up.
Or they would tell them flat out, hey, it's going to be by committee, whoever, just be prepared.
Right.
I mean, that way you don't go – you get down there and you do what you need to do to get loose. You got to get down there early. I mean, it's not like, you know, back when I played, we knew Mitch was the closer.
Right.
You know, for those years I played with Mitch. And, you know, he'd come down – whenever he would come down, you know, to go down to the bullpen. But he had a ritual. I understand what they're saying.
Right.
But when you're in a situation like the Phillies are in right now, and that bullpen's is you got to come, you got to be like you're any other guy in the bullpen. You can be the long reliever,
yep.
You can be the short reliever. If you can possibly long relieve, you're going to be it. If you can go more than an inning, you can give more than, I mean, one inning, two innings or something like that. You got to be prepared to do it. So get down there early, make sure you're loose in the sixth inning, start stretching and doing what you need to do if you're a Benoit.
Right.
You know, Neshek is going to be – I mean, he's going to be probably down there a little bit before then, the way things go.
Yeah, he's been kind of – you know, he's been doing seventh inning.
It all dictates in the starters.
Right.
It all dictates –
that's the problem, too. They're just not getting through.
They're not getting too deep in the game. The only guy that's doing that right now is Eflin.
Yeah.
So
– now, let me ask you a question. So, Benoit, who's 39, 40 years old, so he's obviously a veteran in the league, he when he makes that comment, he's obviously frustrated. He gave up 5 earned runs.
Well, yeah.
Now,
you catch him at a spot where he's frustrated.
When he makes those comments, which are basically an attack on Pete, or it could be an attack on Bob McClure, the pitching coach, does he get talked to, you know, after those comments?
Pete will say something to him.
So he'll call him in his office and say, hey.
I mean, don't show me up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's you. And he probably would tell him the same thing you're telling him. You know, go behind closed door. Don't, you know. I mean, he could possibly, since he did it over, say to speak, talking to reporters, he could go
right
back at
that.
Him. But I think the thing to do is call him in.
Right.
Nobody needs to know what's going on.
Right.
And tell him.
Do it behind closed doors.
Yeah. You know, we've been baseball people all our lives. This is the way, you know, the way it is right now.
Right.
So until somebody steps up. You know, this is what it is. Who defines you just where you need to pitch at every day?
Right.
It doesn't. If you're in the bullpen.
Right.
You're in the bullpen. Look at the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, guys were three inning saves.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were going back then. I mean, they were pitching in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. You know, the closer was, say to speak.
Or even way back when, there really wasn't. It's like,
I mean,
you know, Robin Roberts expected to do a complete game. If you didn't do a complete game,
I think they're falling in. I mean, they're falling into the trap, you know, because they have so many guys down there.
Right.
You know, because they got 12-man staffs.
Right.
You know, there's 7 men in the bullpen at least. And, I mean, and they're not requiring to say to speak the starters to go because they're trying to say to speak.
Yeah.
Watch the pitch counts. And we get going on that. Has it helped any arms or has it caused any less injuries than what we've seen so far?
Talk to the Mets.
I mean, talk to everybody. I mean, it's still around the league. You know, it's still going on. I mean, you can try to do what you can do. It's not a natural act to throw a baseball, you know, especially at the velocities and the sizes these guys are. I mean, it is what it is.
All right, let's talk. Friday night was rained out. Played the Nationals. We played the Nationals for the 80th thousandth time this year.
I'd be glad when tonight's over.
Yeah. Can't wait. I literally cannot wait. I'm sorry to see
Bryce Harper.
Right. So Bryce Harper obviously hits a two-out, two-run, walk-off home run. It was the second walk-off home run versus the Phils this year. The Nationals erase a four-run deficit. Just when you think, like, when we get four runs right away, you think, all right, man, maybe this is the time we can beat these guys.
At least add to it a little bit later. I was hoping we could add a couple.
Rupp stayed hot. The two-run single, Joseph stayed hot. Had an RBI. Saunders starting to heat up a little bit. But the Nats tied up in the fifth with a two-run home run by Trey. It's always a different guy, by Trey Turner. And then that Zimmerman, man, I mean, the guy's on fire. Nobody hotter on this planet. And Ryan Zimmerman, two-run RBI double.
He's got a cape on right now, I think.
I mean, really. And, you know, Pivetta pitched well through four innings.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I thought he was getting ready to have that one of those games that could sort of that confidence booster to keep him here, say to speak.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, that type of thing, whether it does, where they were planning to do with him, what they, that's, wait to be seen, on that.
All right, so Harper, obviously. Now, the situation was, it was guy in first, two outs. People were saying, well, why would you throw to Harper? Well, the problem would be if you walked Harper, then you're putting a guy in scoring position, and there's one out, and guess who the next batters are?
Yeah, Murphy and Zimmerman.
Murphy and Zimmerman. So pick your poison.
Yeah.
Do you want to try to hope that Harper can get himself out with a guy in first? Even if he hits a double, that necessarily doesn't mean that the guy will score from first.
Yeah.
You know, good chance he would. But but I guess I'm willing to take my chance. Ramos,
with him.
Ramos just has to – he can't. We're always seen to groove one down the middle at the wrong time.
Yeah. And we talk about this. I mean, you talk about pitching all the time. And, the key to hitting is hitting mistakes. And that's what the Nationals are doing. I mean, you look at – just look at the numbers. They're the best in baseball.
Right.
Offensively. You know, so there's a reason why they're there. They're taking advantage. You know, not just one guy.
No, it's
like
the whole
six
lineup.
Guys, you right. know, at least.
I mean, look at the one guy. They had their third baseman, Rendon, had 10 RBIs, a couple weeks ago.
So
it was Harper's fifth career walk-off. Feels like it was all against the Phillies. But, that day he had signed the highest paid arbitration eligible contract in MLB history.
$21.5 million.
So how about that? He signs a big contract. Then he gets a walk-off home run against a division rival. Five of the Nats Phils games have ended in a walk-off. How about that one? Also, his home run off Ramos went 438 feet. It was the longest of his five walk-off home runs. And how about this? A day earlier, if you're a Washington fan, now you're bummed out that the Capitals get knocked out.
Yeah.
But Washington managed to hold on to play a game seven. I believe it's tonight because John Wall hit a last-second three-pointer. And Harper even acknowledged John Wall's last-second three-pointer, which happened the day earlier. So, but the other thing I was going to mention, I mentioned a little bit earlier, is that in the ninth inning before, thinking that we might be able to take a lead, we had a guy first and second. And, Herrera, he swung at two balls that were over his head, that were basically at his head. And you said he's guessing? He's got to be guessing because the pitch right out of the pitcher's hand did not look like it was going anywhere near.
Yeah.
Just when you need a good at-bat from Herrera.
From a guy that he's got the capability of being a lot better than he is right now.
Right. There just seemed like there wasn't an approach right there.
Yeah,
there was no thought going into that at-bat.
No.
In a key moment.
I think he relies so much on his hands to do things, to foul stuff off and dust things, which is a good trait.
Right.
Which is a good trait, but you still got to go up there and see a baseball.
Yep.
See a baseball, I don't get it sometimes, and I don't know him. I don't I'm not around there to see how they work and how he works and what he does. So, it's a hard thing. I just know by what you're saying, it was a very, very, very poor approach in at bat.
Yep. All right. Well, coming up in the show, we mentioned Derek Jeter is having number two retired tonight for the Yankees. We will talk about Derek Jeter. We'll talk about some of the Yankees also who had their numbers retired. And we'll get into a conversation, Tommy, about, coming up 2008, a lot of those guys on that team, there was a lot of guys that could potentially have their number retired. And let's go through some of those names and let me know what you think, because there's some – right now, the only people that are in the Hall of Fame – now, this is not – I don't think it's a written rule, but only guys that are in the Hall of Fame have their numbers retired with the Phillies. And so it'll be interesting to see, whether some of these guys you think will be in the Hall of Fame, B, If they're not in the Hall of Fame, should they still have their numbers retired? So we'll get into that. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Paralysis by analysis. That is what you get from the other baseball guys. But this is the Baseball Insider Show. Presented by SEPTA with Phillies Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier, and co-host Tommy Green. Meet me at the tree in Mexico.
All right, we are back with Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA. I'm John Brazier, joined by co-host Tommy Green. That was the voice of Morgan Freeman.
We had
Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, and now Morgan Freeman. We have a lot of fans of the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Tommy, how about that?
That's unbelievable. Where are you drawing this from? You're pulling out your tricks
I'm pulling out all my tricks, so don't worry about that, Tommy. There might be some more, too.
You're making me want to meet these two. I'm going to start hanging around you a little bit more.
There might be some more, but there's a lot of people that want to meet you, including the people that were in the restaurant here. All right, so Derek Jeter, Sunday Night Baseball tonight. The guy obviously had a storied career. He's getting his number retired, duly warranted. Here's a guy that was a top draft pick. He was number six in the draft. But he was a high school kid. You don't know how they're going to project.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that they said – I was listening to MLB Network on the way up here.
I can't wait to see – hopefully I can see some of that.
I'm going to watch some of it too. Because here was a class act, a guy that played in New York City for 20 years, and the guy was a bachelor the whole time, and you would think that there would be some story that would get out.
That's
some
what
scandal,
I was going to get at.
And he doesn't have one scandal.
He's clean as a whistle, to speak.
Yeah, and how do you do that in New York? I mean, you can't get away. There's paparazzi following you everywhere. They know where you live. You know what I mean? He's dating different supermodels, and there was not really one thing. So, all right, let's go through his career.
That's a credit to his parents and how he was raised.
Right. Right. So here's a guy that, again, was a top draft pick, but they said he had all the tools, but he was raw. He was really raw. He wasn't a natural shortstop. He played, back in high school, he played a lot of different positions. He played shortstop, but he made his first year in the minors, he made 56 errors at shortstop.
Yeah.
Right? But they said there's nobody that outworked this guy. He outworked everybody in the weight room, on the field. They were saying that he didn't even know how to take grounders. He didn't know how to routinely get into routine, and he did it. But that's somebody that, again, he had all the natural talent. Obviously, he's being picked sixth in the nation, but he took that talent and took it to another level. And then he even took that to another level, because he became that big game moment. I mean, the Yankees aren't having that huge run in the 90s without Derek Jeter.
Mr. October or Mr. November, whichever one you were calling.
He was their leader. I mean, the guy, if you look at his numbers, his WAR, wins above replacement, or career, 71.8, remarkably. He was durable, too. That's the other thing. Yeah. That Yankees era, they were durable. I mean, look at, for the most part, Andy Pettit, Rivera, Jeter, Posada. Like, they rarely went out and had, like what you're seeing with the Mets right now. They had all these superstars, but they –
And it comes down when you have teams like that, like the Atlantas and stuff like that, overall you're staying healthy.
Right.
You're not having the big major injury that cost you a season.
Especially a key player like the shortstop or a closer like Rivera.
Yes.
So when you look at that, again, he had 20 years in the majors. It's unbelievable. He had 11,195 at-bats. He had 3,465 hits, 260 home runs. He had 66 triples, 544 doubles, 1,311 RBIs. He had 358 stolen bases. He had over 1,000 walks. He had a lifetime 310 average. He had a lifetime 377 on base percentage. He had a lifetime slugging percentage of 440 and a lifetime OPS of 817.
I mean, played the most demanding position on the field.
And a spiritual leader of that team. And the guy, again, led him, had some unbelievable plays. I mean, unbelievable plays. You know, in a big moment when he goes in the stands, remember over third base?
Oh, yeah. He went in there more than once, too.
Right. And some of the ways he dug the ball out of the hole, there's nobody that had the range he did.
And he was a bigger dude than you think he was, too.
He was a big guy.
He's 6'3". I mean, he was a bigger guy than you thought he was.
Yep.
Very athletic.
Yep. So the Yankees, how about this? He became the last Yankees in the single digit to get rid of number retired. So Billy Martin, that's why one's retired. You got Jeter two tonight. Babe Ruth, 3. Look at this lineup. Babe Ruth, the 3 is retired because of Babe. 4 is retired because of Lou Gehrig. 5 because of Joe DiMaggio. 6 because of Joe Torre. 7 because of Mickey Mantle. 8 because of Yogi Berra and a guy named Bill Dickey. 9, Roger Maris. 10, Scooter, Phil Rizzuto. And you got 15, Thurman Munson. 16, Whitey Ford. 20, Jorge Posada. 23, Mattingly. 32, Elson Howard. 37, Casey Stengel. 42 is Jackie Robinson throughout baseball. But Rivera was the last one to wear 42. He was the last one to be grandfathered in. Reggie Jackson, 44, Cheltenham's finest. 46, Andy Pettit. 49, Ron Guidry. 51, Bernie Williams.
They're going to have to watch out. They're going to be having to go to triple digits on the back of their uniforms for long.
Well, I tell you what, when I did the first radio broadcast on WBCB, doing a game, this is, I guess, about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, down at spring training. Lee Alexander asked me to do it, and we had sponsors. We do it every year down in March. We have sponsors that come as my color analyst. And I remember the first game was the Yankees. Now, the Yankees, it was kind of the beginning of spring training, so there's, you know, it's like 50 guys in camp.
Yeah.
B, they don't have their names on their back.
Yeah.
C, all those numbers I just mentioned, all retired. Well, you can't have those numbers, obviously, in spring training either.
No.
And so there was like 3 number 75s. There's 2 79s. There's, you know, 4 number 65s, right? And so I remember doing
I always hated those numbers because you knew if you had that number, there was probably no chance you were going to make it.
But the Yankees probably have a shot at the Yankees because, you know, you run out of numbers.
Anybody else's team, you didn't have a shot.
So I remember doing the game. And, again, this is my first time doing play-by-play. I've got all the notes. I'm prepared. I got all this. All of a sudden, they're like, all right, and coming in, let's say, 7th inning. Coming in the game is number 76. And I'm looking at their roster. There's 4 number 76. So I was like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. You know, I just threw out, and that is end.
Process of elimination.
Right,
enter, left,
right. Out. And then I'd have to correct myself. I just picked one and then corrected myself. So it's pretty crazy, all the numbers they ever retired. So that gets into the conversation I want to have with you, Tommy, in the sense that, again, we have 4 guys. We have Jim Bunning, Richie Ashburn, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, and obviously Jackie Robinson throughout baseball.
Yeah.
So all those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Coming 2008, there's going to be guys. Jimmy Rollins is our all-time Phillies hit leader, right?
Yeah.
You've got Ryan Howard, who's arguably the greatest, very arguably, the greatest first baseman we've ever had.
Yeah.
One of the biggest sluggers we've ever had. You have Chase, who, you know, if he didn't get hurt, he's probably in the Hall of Fame himself. But a lot of people would say he was like Jeter, the spiritual leader of that team.
Yeah.
Right? And then you could almost say Cole Hamels. You know, so I guess if you're the Phillies organization, let's say you're Andy McPhail, and you're getting to the point where these guys are now, you know, out of the game, because a couple of them still in. Chase is still in. Cole's still in. So they're out of the game, and you have to make the decision. Now, again, I don't know if it's a hard rule in the sense that you have to be in the Hall of Fame in order to have your number jersey retired.
Yeah.
But what is your feeling? I'll go through the guys. Jimmy Rollins, if you're Andy McPhail and the Phillies brass, are you retiring Jimmy Rollins' number when it's all said and done?
I think he's right there where you do because he is the all-time hit leader. I mean, he's got the number. That's a pretty significant number in the time that he has spent here. Basically, he played just a little bit after, played with the Dodgers that 1 year. Maybe afterwards, that was it. But his whole career was here. Now, Chase has had a couple
years. Hold on, after. Don't jump to Chase yet. So then Rollins also, you got to give him credit because, again, you can almost say that he was a catalyst to start really that era because he took on the Mets. You know, he took a lot of grief in New York because he came out and said, we're the team to beat. And so he was almost a vocal leader, all-time hits leader.
Yeah.
Does he get into the Hall of Fame, you think? Does he have a shot?
I mean.
Jason, I know Jason.
What's his career average? I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, his career average intangibles.
His career average is below 300.
Yeah.
But Jason Stark was making a case the other day for him potentially, you know, the Hall of Fame.
I'd have to look at all the stuff because, there's a lot of things that go into it, but a lot of things, I mean, it's based off numbers and what you do. And does he have the numbers? I haven't really dug into him in depth, but what he did for Philadelphia sort of
merits.
Right,
so you're putting
merits retiring his number.
All right,
now.
How about, so you got him in. Again, you're the main decision maker. Ryan Howard. Do you retire Ryan Howard's number?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not right. But even though he's very significant in what the Phillies did.
I mean, he's obviously going to be in the Wall. These guys will all be in the Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just retiring.
It's just retiring the number. Yeah, it's just retiring. Retiring a number is a very, 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 I mean.
Big deal.
Top of the echelon. Not that the Wall of Fame is not. It's a very, very, it's a total baseball. You got to look at the total being baseball, too.
Yeah, you saw the names on the Yankees. You know, they weren't Paul O'Neill's. They weren't you know what I mean?
Bernie Williams is
retired.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But you didn't have the Paul O'Neill's. You didn't have the David Cones. You didn't have the, you know what I mean? There's a lot of great reliever, Raleigh Fingers. You know, you had a lot of guys that had an impact with the Yankees. But, all right, Chase.
You hit it on the head, I think, maybe a little bit because he did get hurt. I mean, it's all – I mean, like you said, I wish I'd known a little bit this was coming up. You were talking, I might have looked at the numbers a little bit better to see. But what he stood for and the way he went about his business, I think, outweighed Jimmy. I think the way he worked and what he did, the way he played the game, held a lot of water to me. And so, I mean, there's a give and take right there a little bit. I mean, but you look at the numbers compared to all the all-time numbers, would it merit, you know, Philadelphia history to do it? He's right there, too. I mean, he's right on that borderline, so it's hard for me to say yay or nay.
Right.
I mean.
You got to make a decision.
Okay, I would say more probably – on the nay side.
Okay, so Jimmy.
Jimmy held. He was the spiritual. He started everything, if you ask me.
So Jimmy gets in. Again, this is just retiring the number is not Wall of Fame. All right.
All of Wall of Famers.
One last thing. Yankees played the Cubs last Sunday night. It was 583 pitches, 42 players used, 48 combined Ks.
That was in Chicago, too, right?
Yeah, it was the most innings played in an interleague game, 18. It's the first game where 15 pitchers all had a K. The Yankees, 7 pitchers all had at least 2 Ks. And Starlin Kostya was the first ever to have 2 RBIs in a hitless game of at least 8 at-bats. But here's the crazy it's the first time each team struck out at least 21 times. Okay?
Whiff.
Now, here's the thing, too. You had 48 combined strikeouts. Do you know that Yogi Berra, speaking of Yogi Berra, the number retired, Yogi Berra never had one season where he struck out more than 40 times. And in this game, there's 48 combined strikeouts. It just seems back then,
the emphasis of putting the ball in play.
So much more.
I mean, because good things happen when you put the ball in play.
Right. But it's almost like, to me, and we could almost have we could have one show on this whole thing, that it's almost endemic of the of the sports culture in general.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all about
– Basketball,
it's all about the three-pointers or the dunks.
Yeah.
You know, in baseball, it's all about the home runs. It doesn't care if you have 200 strikeouts. If you have 200 strikeouts and 40 home runs, then you're a superstar. Now, back in the day, if you had 200 strikeouts, 40 home runs, you're probably not having the ability to get to 40 home runs because you're striking out so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's not as much of a stigma – against a strikeout as there was back then.
Because
I guarantee if those guys knew they could make a lot of money.
They played the game a different.
If those guys knew back then they could make tons of money, if they struck out, they'd make those home runs.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
Well, they played the game different back then. It's just a sign of the time, say to speak. Just like looking back when I grew up and I was looking at lefties in Boas' generation. I mean, they played the game different, the way the game was played, the way the game was pitched and type of thing. The social media, the media around things. I mean, what would Steve Carlton do today?
Yeah,
with the media, you know, with the things away, with all the social media and all that crap. I mean, it was hard enough for him to talk to the media back then.
All right, coming up in the show, we will set you up for today's game. We'll give you the lineup. We're also going to go around baseball and talk about some of the things. We're going to talk about a Ken Harrelson alarm clock. We'll talk about Pujols. We'll talk about the best pitcher you've probably never heard of in baseball right now. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Tom Arnold. I like large women and painkillers. Make sure to watch and listen to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, each Sunday night right here on 1490 WBCB and at WBCB1490.com. And call your sponsor because you got a problem.
We are back with Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA. Live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Farrell's Hills, PA, I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host Tommy Green, and that was the voice of Tom Arnold, Roseanne Barr's ex-husband. How about that, Tommy?
Are you responsible for all this, or you got help
I'm
somewhere?
Responsible. I'm responsible. I've been storing this for a while to keep a surprise for you. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to spring them on Metallica, too. And there's more in store, too, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, there's do more, it. There's see, more. How, see how mad you can make Ricky with the ones about my name on it. With Morgan Kiss.
Exactly right. He's like, how come I didn't get Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, he'll turn red as that freaking.
Exactly right. Well, you know, you snooze, you lose, right? All right, let's get through some baseball, stuff that's going on in baseball. How about this? You know, one of the most dominant pitchers right now, he was traded to the Red Sox, Chris Sale. Now
that guy's filthy.
I mean, how about this? He's got 10 Ks, 10-plus Ks in seven straight games. Right now, he's tied with Nolan Ryan and Randy Johnson for that feat, okay? If he gets one more, he ties Pedro Martinez.
That's another nasty one.
Right, and he does two more. Obviously, he's the all-time leader. Now, Chris Sale, man, tall guy, right? Comes down, he's got a
– He's another version of the big unit. Yep. Randy Johnson, a smaller version, but he's got – I mean, because he throws way out there with right. that angle too.
Right.
But he's a little more knees and elbows, say to speak, I think, than – he gives a little more herky-jerkiness, a little bit of kind of deceptiveness than Randy did. But Randy, I mean, was so overpowering at times. I mean, and so is Sal. So he gives both.
Yeah, so he has allowed more than three earned runs just once so far this season. So he's only had
basic quality.
He's had one bad outing. He leads the majors with 85 Ks. He has struck out 37.6% of batters. How about that? 37.6% of batters. It would be a major league record if the season ended today. So that's pretty incredible, Chris Sale. So I would think that now again, he was traded to the Red Sox. Red Sox had to give up Mankato, I believe, and you know some big names. But we'll see how that trade works out. But so far, so good for the Red Sox.
Yeah. That guy's, I mean, is he up, you know, the guy they traded for him? And,
Mankato?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think he's doing okay, though.
Yeah, no, that guy's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
Now, conversely, that guy doing well, but how about the Dark Knight, Matt Harvey? Now, if you hear the story,
it
seems like if you're in New York, you have Syndergaard, who doesn't want to go in the MRI, and they let him pitch. Probably because of his bullheadedness, and then he gets himself hurt. And now he's out for we don't know how long.
He's probably done for the year. I mean, yeah. Almost that type of injury. If he tore a lat or something right. like that, if you tear something, especially, I mean, what all is that involved? It's going to be a while before he's back.
Yeah, and they've got some other pitchers that are
it's going to be a while.
Other
months,
starting
months,
pitchers months. That are hurt. They've got now Familia now has that thoracic.
Well, that's a shame,
Outlet
right there.
Syndrome.
I mean, that's deadly when you got right. to start messing with clots.
Right.
I mean, that's people have died from that.
Believe me.
Not paying attention and stuff broke loose and you know, because if you don't take care of it and do what needs to be done to get to relieve that thing from happening, say to speak
yep.
again, you can have issues going on after that and possibly. I mean, I knew a kid that they ended up passing. He was with the Braves years ago. I had met him and I ended up meeting him when I was coaching in independent ball in Lincoln, Nebraska. Had run into him very nice. I mean, run into him, you know, say to speak again.
Yeah.
And very good kid, good stuff. And I mean, hear about him, you know, 6 months later that he passed
wow.
because of a clot like that. Is unbelievable, and he'd had trouble with it before.
Right. Well, going back to Harvey, he now supposedly the story is he was supposed to pitch on Sunday. On Friday night, I guess he goes out.
Out on the town.
Saturday, yeah, he goes out. Saturday, he plays in a golf outing.
Well, he goes out like I mean, yeah,
goes out
out
goes
like
out late
five,
Friday night. Yeah,
at least.
And then plays
four, five in the morning.
Then plays in a golf outing, and then says he texted the coach. Saying I've got a migraine, and he said he fell asleep, and he assumed the coach got it, and then the Mets sent security to his apartment to make sure he's okay, and they say he's there, but then it comes out that he admits that he was drinking on Friday night. They find out that he broke up with his girlfriend, or not that he broke up with his girlfriend, but he found out that his ex-girlfriend was at some bar with Julian Edelman. This is the life of being a celebrity, Tommy.
Yeah.
So it's a mess, and he just had a start. Got a loss, but you know, the Mets just, you know, they're just everything from their PR to their training staff to their on-field performance. It's, you know, they've got all that talent. And
he's got talent, but he needs maybe a little bit of a wake-up call a little bit with what's going on with
all right,
him.
A couple more. The player that you've never heard of, Chris Devensky, he's pitching 12 games, 1.96 ERA. He's got 23 innings pitched. He's got 42 Ks. He's faced 85. Well, this is a couple of days ago. He had faced 85 batters. Half of them, he struck out. Half the batters,
that's
he struck
it
out.
Done. I haven't seen him, believe it or not.
Yeah,
so.
Supposedly this guy, they call him the Dragon. Pretty crazy. And how about this one? Orioles Francisco Pena. He promised his mom he'd hit a home run. And you know what he did? He went out and he hit two. So how about that? That's a good mama's boy right there.
That's a mama's boy.
That's a
right
good
there.
Mother's Day present. All right, let's give you the lineup today. Again, it's a 1:35 start. It is Gio Gonzalez versus Jeremy Hellickson, and then we have the night game. So the lineup for the 1:35 game, we got Cesar leading off. We got Daniel Nava hitting second. Altair, Joseph, Franco, Rupp, Galvis, Ty Kelly getting a start in left field, batting eighth, and Jeremy Hellickson. So hopefully we can do that. And that wraps up today's Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, live from Puts and Boots in Fairless Hills, PA. I'd like to thank my co-host today, the great Tommy Green, our engineer today, Chris Ermer, and Bob Giaquinto, and our tech support, Brianne O'Neill. Thank you, Brianne. Our producer back in the studio, again, is it Jack Irvin? No, it's not Jack Irvin. Maybe you should tell me these things, Chris Ermer, before I thank you. And thanks to the good folks here at Puss in Boots for hosting us today. We will be back next Sunday before the Phillies take on the Pittsburgh Pirates at 1:35. Stay tuned for Phillies on Deck with Jim Jackson, as a legendary Harry the K says.
We're out of here.
You've been listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, an exclusive presentation of 1490 AM WBCB, and heard round the world at WBCB1490.com.